The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Open line today on Man in Line. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Whatever's on your mind, can be what's in the news, it can be just something that's bothering you. Whatever it is, then do get in touch. Man in Line is just for you for Open Line today. Tomorrow, of course, the Chief Constable will be on Man in Line. So if you want to get a message in or a question or you want to record something, then by all means do get in touch by emailing maninline at manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682631 or chant your arm tomorrow. Steam Packet is hugely disappointed by this. They've confirmed Manxman won't return to service until late September. These propulsion shaft bearings were removed during an inspection and were found to have sustained wear. It confirms specialist repairs are underway, but given the complexity and the logistical challenges with getting stuff, components and what have you, 2 months we're going to be out. 2 months we will be out of Manxman. So that means obviously Ben McCree's on duty, but then again she's got a long timetable to look after, and then it's Manannan, which of course has had her own problems with the engines in the past. So and it's peak season. Couldn't really have happened at a worse time, couldn't it? And obviously Steam Packet have found themselves the victim of circumstances. If you've got any thoughts on this, by all means do get in touch. I think we've got Tony B with us. Hi Tony.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Well, what do you make of this?
Well, I think it's a good thing. At last, they're telling us what the problem is. The bad thing is this is of their own making. They've bought a vessel and they're not monitoring it properly. If it's got a tail shaft problem, which I think I mentioned to you when it first turned up.
You did, yeah.
And they said, oh, no, there's no tail shaft problem. They said, there's no vibrations. And then after other people complained, and I think it became more apparent there was a problem, then they went and got a survey done, if I remember correctly. A survey that was supposed to tell them where the vibration was coming from. Now, if you do something in a timely manner when you're repairing something, typically you don't have to replace the bearings. But unfortunately for the Steam Packet, their approach to this is don't do anything and we'll see what happens. When you send it to dry dock, of course, then you find out there's a major problem, not a little problem. I just find the whole thing something that was, it's doomed in the sense that it was going to happen, whatever they said or did. But the vessel is too big for the Isle of Man. And it's obviously under massive amounts of strain because it's too high out of the water. And that is driven by, we don't know what it was driven by because we don't know who made the decision to actually specify what for that vessel.
Well, it's bespoke, isn't it? I mean, we chose what we wanted.
Well, who's we, Andy?
Well, the Steam Packet, whoever at the Steam Packet decided, I'm sure Mr. Thompson is a marine architect. He knows what he's doing.
I don't think he's a marine architect, but I would say he's certainly been around ships quite a lot. Now, the question is, was it him that looked at it, or was it somebody from DOI that said we need a bigger vessel? Was it somebody from the Treasury who thought we needed a bigger vessel? Because when you say you need a bigger vessel, you need bigger everything. And they could have not bought this vessel and bought two smaller vessels, which would have been far more useful in bad weather than this thing. Because it can't, next winter, which is coming, when it gets back, it won't sail in over 40 mile an hour gusts. And if it's less than 40 mile an hour from south or from north, because it's on the, it then is on the sail, if you like, that is what it is. Yeah. It's a giant sail. It heals too much, and they can't control it. And you, that's explained and shown by the fact they ran into the jetty side and damaged everything in Heysham.
Well, just, let's get back to these shaft bearings then. Did something cause the vibration that damaged the shaft bearings, or is it the shaft bearings that aren't true? What's caused this?
Right, so there's several things it could be, right? It could be the tunnel when it was built. When you build a ship and you do it on the, you do it basically in dry dock. You do it on land is how you build a ship. So you build the ship, you stick it in the water and things change. But before you stick it in the water, you're going to put a tail shaft bearing in, and that's done very carefully to make sure it's in a straight line. So there are different bearings in there and different structures that allow you to adjust that tail shaft. And there is also a connection to the main engine through a gearbox. Now, if you remember, when it first went to sea, or when it first went for sea trials, they had to change the gearbox. Do you remember that?
I can't remember that, but go
right,
ahead.
Right, well, if you go back, you'll find out that there was a gearbox problem.
Right.
When you change the gearbox out, if the gearbox is 3 millimetres different in height or how it's mounted or anything else,
right,
it will affect the tail shaft. Now, typically, when you're running the ship, you'll know that because you can see the bloody thing moving up and down. But that's by the by. You can have a tail shaft problem by running aground. You can have a tail shaft problem by getting the propeller wrapped up with something. You can have all sorts of things like that that put too much strain on the tail shaft.
Right.
But the tail shaft lubrication system, now I don't know whether this has got seals or whether it's got water seals. Typically, you run a environmentally friendly oil within the tail shaft area that lubricates everything and stops it warping and bouncing around the place. Now, sometimes that is water and sometimes it's oil. In both cases, there are seals at both ends to stop the water getting out and also the oil getting out. And if there is any leakage, it's environmentally friendly, theoretically. Right, but the bottom line is that if you at any point have a problem and you are not monitoring that problem, for instance, you should be taking samples of the oil regularly to see if there's anything in there that's causing a problem, and you should also be monitoring the movement on the shaft. Now, that can be done optically, it can be done with a gauge, but that thing will be turning at a fairly good lick. So you've got to do it carefully. And if you're at sea, it will move anyway, because the whole vessel flexes. Everything's when you stick a steel vessel in water, it doesn't move. Well, it does. The whole vessel shakes and moves, and it actually flexes. In fact, there's oil tankers which are incredibly long, over nearly three quarters of a mile, up nearly a kilometre, and they're in two pieces, and there's a flex joint in the middle, because if you have two waves that are that far apart, the ship will break in half. So there's flex joints within the vessel itself. Now, there's bulkheads on both halves, and there are flex pieces. So that's just one design. But our problem is that whoever decided on this vessel, for whatever reason, did not take account of the fact we live in an island in the Irish Sea where weather gets very bad very quickly and gets very good very quickly. But we need to have a boat that goes back and forward regularly. And it should go back and forward on a schedule that is not interrupted every 15 minutes. Because as soon as we get bad weather, the boat don't sail. As soon as we have a problem, the boat don't sail. Now, they've replaced this Manxman with a Ben McCree. And I don't believe the Ben McCrees have major problems going back and forwards, has it?
No, no.
So the question is, why did we order something that was much too big? It's like taking a truck into a supermarket aisle and asking it to go up and down the aisles and get around the corners.
Hypothetically, do you think the lack of dredging in Douglas Harbour would have anything to do with this?
lack of dredging in the sense that it's damaged the tail shaft?
Yeah, in case he's bounced on the bottom.
If it was sitting on the bottom for a long period of time and you tried to turn it, you would damage the bearings almost inevitably. But usually that prop shaft comes out and the propeller sits above the base of the sediment,
right,
or the top of the sediment. Now, the problem is that when you have a vessel that's half as big again as the Ben McCree, it gets stuck. And it's not stuck on sediment. It's stuck because of surface tension, because the sediment is so close to the hull, and the hull is twice as wide as the Ben McCree.
Yeah.
So you don't get the same problem. So all the lessons you learn over the years from the Ben McCree were thrown out the window simply because they didn't get the right vessel. Now, my question is not who is at fault at the steam packet. I think we should have a public inquiry. Why have we spent... How much was the vessel?
80 plus 100 million.
Yeah. 100 plus the 6 million for the sponson. We added 6 million, remember, to put those dogs at the front of the vessel in Douglas Harbour. That was another 6 or 10 million added on. And then we've built a wonderful centre in Liverpool, which is owned by the DOI, who really know a lot about commercial centres like that. And that's too... We can't actually dock the Manxman, as far as I understand, because it's too big.
What do you think is going through the minds of the senior management at the steam packet now, Tony?
They will... I don't blame the steam packet. This comes back to who owns that vessel, the Manx public. Who represents the Manx vessel in that three-ring circus? Treasury. So for the last 2 years, at least, Treasury have just been not saying anything and blaming it on the steam packet. So the steam packet's got some question marks, but I'd like to see the emails that went back and forward over the design. Because I suspect, and I might be wrong, and I might be completely wrong, I suspect that somebody has said at some stage, oh no, it needs to be this size. Because they think it needs to be that size, with no expertise or skill involved in the calculation that they needed. So you've got a vessel that can carry 1,000 people, roughly, or just under, but it can only carry half of that in the winter, because you can't get the people off in an emergency, because you've got to drop down a chute 70 feet and land in a rubber ring on the water. And you can only do that from one side.
Yeah.
So... whose idea was it to do this? I'm not complaining about the escape system. I'm complaining, why did we go for something this big? Oh, it's very shiny. I mean, I've seen people in the front get up and try and pull the blinds down, which are electric. Now, who in their right mind thought it was a good idea to have an electric blind in the front windows? Because people obviously pull them down and then they break. We have television screens that couldn't take... you couldn't get script on them at all.
Yeah.
Because they're not the right television screens. I mean, the whole specifications. If you did go to sea in rough weather, half the furniture would be lying in different sides of the vessel. Because it's not tied down. There's no where in the vessel are the seats anchored to the floor. Think of the Ben McCree. That could go out in quite rough weather. And I've been on it a couple of times in rough weather. And no big issues, because you sit in the seat and the seat's bolted to the floor. Not bolted, but tied with a chain. So even though you slide back and forward, you're not going anywhere. Because the chain is underneath you and tied, bolted to the deck. So even if it's rough, you can still sit there. But you can't do that on the Manxman, because you get attacked by a settee or something that's rolling across the floor.
Okay.
I don't think that the whole way this was done was public. It was all, oh yeah, we're going to get a new vessel, it's going to be fantastic. Oh, it doesn't quite fit in the arbour. Oh, we can't anchor it properly or tie it up properly. We've got to have more stuff at the front end. Oh, it can't go to sea in really bad winds.
And it's difficult to get into Heysham. Difficult to get into Heysham in a southwesterly.
Yeah, because of its wind, because it catches the wind. Have we ever, that I know of, had a problem with the Ben McCree docking in Heysham?
Only when she's tidal. Sometimes she's been marooned on a sandbank outside.
Fair enough, but the issue is that would happen to any vessel. But in the Ben McCree's case, it wasn't a big problem, was it? But in the case of this, because it's, I don't know how much percentage-wise, but it's half as big again. What we should have had was separate freight and people. So you should have had a vessel which carries freight, like the Arrow. You could get a new updated one if you want, I don't care. But that vessel would be going back and forwards at a regular pace. Back and forwards, and in all weathers. Unless there's a false 9 or a false 10. Which means above 50 mile an hour. So, and the measure they used is wind gusts, by the way. Now, most vessels sail in quite bad weather, but you've got to watch for the wind gusts, because they'll throw you off. They'll do serious damage to the vessel itself with the waves pounding on it. But in this case, this vessel sits way out of the water. So if you think about it, what you've got is a sailing ship. With a following wind, it's lovely. With a headwind, it's not too bad. But with a side wind, it's a nightmare. Now, I'm sure that the Ben McCree is not as bad as that. Put it that way.
Well, there's less of her.
Yes, precisely. Now, we could have ordered something that was like the Ben McCree, but a bit more modern, and got away with it fine. But no, we have to have an all-singing, all-dancing gin palace that is really a small, cruising ship.
Right.
When what we want is a bus service.
Okay. All right, Tony, I appreciate your technical knowledge and putting all that into perspective.
I'm not trying to tell them what's wrong. I'm trying to say the whole way it was approached was appalling. And also, the Treasury... Somebody in Treasury and DRI needs to stand up and say, why did we do this?
Okay.
Who approved it? And Bonzo's concerns are completely wrong. You don't have problems with new vessels with tail shafts. You have them because something's happened to it or it's not quite properly aligned.
Okay. All right. Tony?
And what I want to mention more, Vanin.
Go on.
All right. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that. My question is, how is this democratic? Moore Vanin is going to have it's going to get an approval from the planning board because the whole thing is a fix, as far as I can see. We've got a lawyer who on our side is representatives, which is the same lawyer as on the other side. So the question of how did this get approved, and the other question is, how on earth did somebody approve that they would double the size of the turbines? Because originally they weren't this big. So my questions are more about not so much the actual wind farm itself, but what is the advantage to us when all the electricity is going to the UK and we're getting a pittance for renting the seabed while they destroy what is effectively the views and all the fishing on the bank?
Okay.
And the decision shouldn't be for the key council of ministers, it should be for Tynwald. And the members, Tynwald members, shouldn't be muzzled because they disagree with the project. In all cases, we need a referendum. Because if I said to somebody who wants to stand, do you support this? According to the Attorney General, he shouldn't say yes or no, because then he would be preconditioning his decision on the Moore Vanin wind farm.
Yeah.
So that's not democratic, full stop. So the only democratic way I see out of this, which would address what Betty's concerned about, is to have a referendum. Do we want an offshore wind farm or don't we want an offshore wind farm? And that should be the question. Because I don't see the advantage to us personally, but I'm sure somebody else will. But realistically, we're not having an open discussion, we're having a closed discussion. like they do in the Council of Ministers. Because everything in the Council of Ministers is secret. The discussions are secret and they come with a decision. In Tynwald, it's a public meeting, which is how all meetings should be. And we should have records of who said what and where. So any recommendations we get from the departments should be recorded. And they're not, I don't think, because you can't record them, otherwise they can be blamed.
Okay. All right, Tony.
Referendum is the way to go, and then basically it's the whole opinion of the Isle of Man. It's got nothing to do with the Attorney General, whether we don't like it or do like it.
All right, thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you, Tony. Thanks for that. Manxman has been going in for scheduled maintenance every month, says Barbara. What exactly have they been maintaining if these problems are here now? Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I agree with Tony, as you say, talking a lot of sense. And you've got to have a sailing man, a captain, or whatever, to know what they're talking about, particularly with the Irish Sea. It's my uncle sailed on the Blue Funnel Line all his working life, all over the world, and he always reckoned that the Irish Sea was the most disruptive sea, in a sense, because it can come up all of a sudden and go down just as quick, as Tony says, because basically it's only shallow water. But he's quite right. People will forget this. When the Manxman was on her sea trials, the gearbox had serious troubles and it was delayed on getting to the Isle of Man,
right,
making its way, because of the gearbox troubles. And they had to fix it before it could even leave the shipyard. But was there, like the Menannan, that had a very similar problem when she arrived. They had serious vibrations, and they found that the engine seating was, and you only talk millimeters out, and that was causing vibration in the water jets, which was transmitting up through the vessel. The vessel being largely aluminium. I'd like to know, is the steel used in the Manxman, is it of a lighter category than what the Ben McGree is? Because she'd be a lot more rigid. They're using lighter steels in ships today, and not always to a good conclusion. And the vibrations, they will transmit fairly rapidly up through a ship. And they only need a very, very small amount of difference. And as Tony says, it'll go through the engine, the gearbox, and they have an engine that hadn't been tried essentially before. It was one of these dual fuel things, and the gearbox and everything like that. So she's a ship that is essentially an experimental ship in lots of ways.
I think, isn't she the first ferry that Hyundai have built?
Probably is. Well, they used to call it the Big White One. That was the nickname on it when she was getting built.
Yeah.
The Big White One. And it is. It's a white elephant. But the older captains and the steam packet, and they built ships primarily for the Irish Sea. They were built to a pattern. They were built... now, Tony would correct me on this if I'm wrong. They took a particular length of ship and added in the drawings a certain length, say a third of the ship, because they had done over the years, knowing what the sea is running within the Irish Sea area, the length of the waves, which is very important. That means she won't slam into the waves. She will ride the waves to a degree. You'll still get a lumpy ride, but the Manxman, it sounds like a camel or horse designed by a committee, and I think, personally speaking, you're not hearing very much from the government. You're hearing excuses, not reasons. I think the DOI have had a big hand in this, and they wanted a promotional job to give themselves all a big pat on the back. I don't know where the steam packet management come in, because I think there were an awful lot of bean counters in there, and they were looking to get a vessel, and I don't know why they went to double the size of the Ben McCree. As Tony says, two of that size ship would have been quite sufficient, because for many years the steam packet had lift on, lift off. They obviously had to get rid of that, but they had the freighter, the Peveril. It used to be one of P&O's. They're all designed, these ships are all designed for hard work in the Irish Sea, not a Mediterranean-style ship, which the Manxman is.
Yeah.
And, you know, somewhere in the system, nobody's going to admit to this, but somewhere within the system, either designers in the steam packet or the government, the Isle of Man government, and half of them are bailing out now, and previous to that, before the promenade, which was all part of the DOI, the link span in Liverpool, where they had to spend another million there to move the bollards, because the Manxman couldn't tie up without furling the ropes. They had to stop sailing there for a couple of weekends while they took the bollards out, moved them further down, and that was another £1 million. And this sounds very, very much like our government, this government and the previous one. We're all fingers in the pie, and it's been what we loosely term as a mess. So Tony is quite right on what he says, and the technical side, he is very much right. He obviously knows what he's talking about. So you said to yourself the other day that that vibration's been there from day one. Did they put that gearbox back together again? Did they put it back together again correctly? Did they make sure everything was lined up? And if you've got lighter steel in there, everything's going to move. And don't she, if she was fouled on the bottom, did she, as I say, it only takes millimetres. And everything will transmit through and increase as it goes through the working, from the engine, the shafts, to the gearbox, to the ship. So it's going to have, and he suggested it, a public inquiry on the vessel. Otherwise, there's £100 million going to sit there and only sail in fine weather and going to be the laughing stock of the marine world.
If we could sell her for more than we paid for her, do you think we should sell her?
Well, who would want to buy it with the reputation it's got?
Well, if you went to different, you know, different climates, if you went to a different sea that's not as kind of changeable as ours, she's a fine-looking vessel. She's a luxurious vessel inside. Somebody would surely want her.
Well, a lot of our vessels went out. The Super Sea Cats are still sailing out in the Mediterranean.
I think the Lady of Man's still around.
No, she's scrapped. She's scrapped about 2 years ago. The lady's gone now. They were all good sea vessels designed for the Irish Sea.
Mm.
And this is what people will tell you. They were designed for this sea. And this sea round here is notorious. We've got the Arrow. She was up. I looked last night. She was still up in the Western Isles, up Isle of Skye.
She's just past Larne at the moment.
She's off Larne?
Yeah, she just passed Larne.
Aye. Well, she won't get into Heysham till 6-7 o'clock tonight. Yet the steam packet was saying last week the Arrow is going to be here. They're working, the management within the steam packet now are working on that, what the supermarkets do, just in time. Unfortunately, just in time doesn't work with the sea. And this is where they're catching a serious cold. And the uproar when they want to sell the Ben McCree, we'd have been in dire straits.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if somebody'd bought the Ben?
Well, that was bought off the sticks out in Holland. That company doesn't exist anymore. But there are quite a few of them around. And there was one for sale up recently. New Zealand one bought it, I think. And the Condor Ferries. It was virtually the same as the Ben McCree.
Yeah.
And a good and faithful servant. But it's the bean counters and the people within the DOI who everything they touch goes bottom up.
Okay. All right, Howard. Good. Okay. Thanks for calling today.
Cheers. Bye now.
All right, the steam packet companies confirm Manxman will not return to service for 2 months until late September. Steam packet says propulsion shaft bearings were removed during an inspection and found to have sustained wear. In a statement, it's confirmed specialist repairs are underway, but given the complexity of the repairs and logistical challenges for getting spare parts, it's currently not expecting the vessel to be returning for another 2 months, basically. The steam packet described the situation as disappointing, hugely disappointing, but said its priority is ensuring the repairs are completed to the highest standard for the vessel's long-term reliability and performance. Yesterday, we sent John Moss out to speak to passengers and ask them what they thought of the situation.
Booking was fine. We did it all online. Only about 2 weeks before we used it. The boat itself, everything was
just 2 weeks, and you had no trouble getting a booking because you come with a bike, presumably.
Yes, yeah, we're on a motorcycle. Yeah.
So you had no trouble getting a bike on?
No. We were nice and early. We were one of the first bikes on.
Ladies, you come across quite regularly to the Isle of Man. How do you find travel across?
Usually, it's absolutely fine. No problems at all.
Well, booking and everything.
Yes, my sister booked this time, but we've not really experienced any problems booking to date. And we've been coming over here, well, many years now, on an annual basis.
You were over at, presume you came from Liverpool?
We did, yes.
What about the facilities at the terminal? There are some who say people have to queue outside because there's not enough room inside. How did you find it?
It was quite busy at the terminal.
You didn't have to wait outside?
No, we didn't have to wait outside. But we did make sure we got there quite early.
We came over from Liverpool on Friday.
And you were on the Mananan, were you?
Yes, we were.
So how did you find the booking and the travel?
So, yeah, the booking we did online, where there was no problem with it. It was pretty straightforward. Checking in, we got there a bit early, but we just managed to get straight through security and just, no problem getting a seat on the ferry or anything like that.
Was booking a problem?
It's been a nightmare.
Why?
When I booked, I couldn't get on this morning's sailing, so I had to...
But you'd booked?
I'd booked, but... I had to book onto the HM sailing at 2:15 a.m. tomorrow morning, because apparently today's morning sailing and evening sailing was full. But I phoned up this morning to see if there's any cancellations, so I got on.
Well, any thoughts? What I can lay before you is the fact that 2 weeks this Sunday, MGP gets underway. And the Classic TT, Sunday 16th of August until Friday 28th of August, it's the Manx Grand Prix. Let's just hope everything happens. I mean, obviously, there won't be as many people coming across as for TT, because we would have been up a gum tree if it had been TT and not MGP. But the fact remains that the Ben McCree is now cabin free. All the cabins have now gone across to crew. So if you wanted to, if you'd booked on the Manxman and were contemplating stretching out horizontally, that won't happen if you're transferred to the Ben McCree, because it's cabin free.
Quayside Tyre and Service Centre, where alongside quality tyres and excellent servicing, you'll find a whole lot more besides. Choose Quayside Tyre and Service Centre for diagnostics, cam belt changes and aircon, along with Hunter wheel alignment and all your mechanical and electrical repairs. With courtesy cars available, excellent friendly service and competitive prices, visit Quayside Tyre and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate and you'll soon be back on the road. Quayside!
Ramsey Care Products is now opened in St Paul's Square, Ramsey. An Aladdin's cave of stock including mobility scooters, Rise recliners, household aids and more. Call 627 177 to find out more. Ramsey Care Products. Affordable mobility solutions for you.
At Bagode Cattery, we've been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for our customers' cats and treat them as our own. Visit bagode.com or call 321 989.
Fed up sifting through applications and hitting dead ends? We get it. It's not the high-flying life a boss should have. So step away from the desk, make a coffee, and let us take the reins. Orchard Recruitment adds a refreshing change to your hiring process. Getting to know your business and culture before finding you the right people. We won't send you any old CV. We'll cherry pick. Make your next onboarding fruitful. Visit orchardrecruitment.com.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
For over 40 years, Hospice Isle of Man has provided free specialist palliative and end-of-life care for people of all ages across our island. We support patients and families at home, in the hospice, and the community when it matters most. Every donation helps keep our care free. Find out more, donate or get involved at hospice.org.im.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
And welcome to my tropical paradise retreat.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
This beautiful, life-giving energy moves to your chest. This feeling can stay with you forever.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman, and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
19 minutes before one. Given these problems, says Jason, with the boat now confirmed and major events coming up like MGP, should the steam packet not be pushed to source another charter vessel to cover the summer? People can debate the suitability of the Manxman all day long, but the here and now is what matters. Good point. The current situation is not acceptable for peak summer. Why is Treasury as the main shareholder not doing more to hold the board to account? Alex on now. Hello, Alec.
Hello. I've got a couple of points, really, but one of them was based directly on your previous two speakers.
Yeah.
I think they're absolutely right, with their opinions on the Manx boat. But I know we're all ignorant, it's just on different subjects, but these two gentlemen seem to have the facts pretty well. I would like to just take up something that came up on your program on tourism. It's a very small point, but I think it's very important. When I think it was inferred that David Cretney probably had it easy simply because there was more money around. Now, my take on that is different. If there's a lot more money around, there's a lot more scope for making a fool of yourselves and misspending it. If there's very little money around, then perhaps it's a little bit easier to avoid it. Now, just to get back to what I really wanted to speak about was is the steam packet itself and the decision making that's obviously gone behind that. We all have opinions. It's just that they need to be backed up by fact. And
right,
as I say, I was very impressed by your two speakers. The snag arises when those that don't fully understand the problem are the decision makers. And this has happened so much on the Isle of Man fairly recently, and it is nothing short of a waste of money. And I could point out a variety of examples that I'm not so ignorant on, where we've ended up with misspending money and potential problems for the future.
Such as what?
Well, first of all, I could say both marinas. I studied the marina at Peel, and the number of mistakes there are utterly staggering, in that, in my opinion, there was insufficient research into the amount of water going down into the marina itself. The gate had to be replaced. I was at the meeting and I asked about the amount of water going down, and I was told it was much too costly to work out. Well, to be honest, a small Peel gobbick with a stopwatch, a foot rule, and could more or less work it out. And upstream, we have Foxdale Granite. Now, this happens to be my particular subject. With a granite, it forms about 20 miles down in the Earth's crust, and you get hydrothermal fluids coming out with copper, lead, zinc, tin, molybdenum, cadmium, which is not really good for the pancreas, arsenic, and minor radioactive materials. And whereas it all went out to sea in small doses, it's now being dropped in the only deep part. And then when they took the gates, lowered the gate, the water became shallower up by the house of Mananen, which so they decided that there was insufficient water for the boat, so they built a boat park, which is rather like putting a hose on and speeded up the sediment and dumped it into the only deep part. Now, it's factual that the load carried by a river is proportional to the sixth power of the velocity. Now, if you want to put this in very simple terms, imagine a bath full of sand being carried by in a fluid, in water, by whatever whatever way you like, in at 1 mile an hour, the load carrying capacity goes up to 15,625 bathfuls if you go from 1 mile an hour or 1 unit of speed to 5 units of speed. So you end up with so much pollution in the middle, and that is going out into the it's in the basin, and they've moved it to various places, Poor Town, and there were plans to move it up to Snuff the Wind or to Turkey Land. Well, these are awful decisions, and I wonder how the decisions came there. The other one that bothers me is Douglas Marina. Now, just suppose Douglas Marina went on fire, and before anyone can say marinas don't go on fire, there are numerous examples, particularly a nasty one in northwest USA. What would happen at low water with no way of getting any help down, and what happens if there's a severe fire and this catches light on the southern side of the, or even the northern side of the marina? We've got gas and all sorts there, and tires and the like. I mean, these are decisions that I feel are sort of frightening, to be honest.
Okay.
I'll just add one other thing is, I would like to see a holistic view to all the... I listen to nearly all your programs whenever I get a chance, to be honest, and find them fascinating. It all should be tied, really, to the management of our population pyramid, which is a total disaster. Instead of being like a triangle, it's almost like a rectangle. And we're trying to attract more tourists here, fine, but are we going to attract more tourists if we ruin our environment, ruin our capacity to grow crops and so on? The population pyramid is so bad, it affects our national health, it affects the policing, it affects our transport, our connectivity between one settlement and another. And if you walk from, or you travel from Portsmouth to the point of there, you pass a number of estates that really don't enhance the quality of our environment in any way, not only visually, but in terms of pollution and so on.
You don't sound very optimistic about the future, Alec.
I am not in a way, but I think really all our MHKs should look to see how to make the Isle of Man a better place, how to make it more prosperous, and there is an opportunity to do that, to have not a look at what we've got now, but what we really need to make our place a super, or maintain and retain our assets, even our youth, really, to get them to stay here rather than to find they have to go to somewhere else to find a job. I would like to see the major effort, and I'm not in this environment, I'm past my sell-by date, but the youth of today are really in need of us looking after them and not looking to destroy the assets we've got. And I know I'm rabbiting on, I suppose. And one of the laws is the law of uniformitarianism, which is the present is the key to the past. and it used to be the key to the future, but our world environment is changing rapidly, and to be honest, what's happening somewhere else could well happen here, and we need to look after our patch and make it a better place. And in many ways, I think our population should be, they should be aiming to, for it to thrive rather than to grow.
Okay.
Because growth, growing our population will affect our national health, the policing, vets, doctors, you name it, connectivity and so on.
Well, for somebody who's passed his, for somebody who's passed his sell-by date, Alec, you sound fine for me.
Well, I think I've got some of my marbles left, okay. But I do realise I'm ignorant on lots of subjects, but in geology and on the sea, to some extent, I've been... I studied geology, and I studied physical geography, which included sedimentation and all the other geomorphic things, the climate stuff.
Okay.
So from that point of view, I don't think I'm too ignorant, but there's always somebody around that knows more than you, and I was very impressed by these two characters.
Okay.
That were on before on that, which I have to admit I agree with, but that's based on limited opinion.
All right. Okay, Alec, well, we appreciate it. We've got to move on now, but thanks for calling today.
Right, thank
Cheers
you.
Now.
A new era of private healthcare on the island is just beginning with Clinic Savoir. Clinic Savoir is the island's first truly integrated private healthcare service. So from health checks to GPs, specialist consultations or connections to UK specialists, you'll experience care that's connected, considered and personal from state-of-the-art clinics in Douglas and Ramsey. Take the next step in your guided health journey. Visit clinicsavoir.com or call 682000. Thoughtful island healthcare, expertly delivered. Clinic Savoir.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells with no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
Looking for somewhere special for lunch? For the past 10 years, Mrs. Yang's has been welcoming guests from across the Isle of Man with authentic Asian flavours, warm hospitality and freshly prepared dishes every day. Whether you're catching up with friends, enjoying a business lunch or treating the family, lunch is served Monday to Friday from noon until 2 p.m. Celebrate 10 years with Mrs. Yang's on North Quay Douglas, where great food brings people together. Reserve your table today.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Did you see that story about 67% of people who checked their health at the public station in Ramsey were overweight or obese? 67%. I got a note in from Chris who said, regarding that story about two-thirds of people being obese checking at the Ramsey health kiosk, there's a very likely to be a high percentage of those with type 2 diabetes, overweight being an indication of possible diabetes. There'll be many currently in the normal weight category who've put themselves unknowingly on the road to type 2 diabetes. Type 2 is a serious health condition as the cause of many illnesses, diseases, and let 10 leads to an early death. Reducing type 2 diabetes to be a controllable and less dangerous level is simple, straightforward, and dare I say it can be actually enjoyable and interesting to reverse. There are huge health and indeed social advantages and benefits to losing weight and being in control of one's diet and one's health. Chris goes on, the basis for saying this is that I left the island to work and signed at a local doctor where I was. As I was 65, they carried out a health check. They picked up that I had high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and to cap it all, I was obese, which I had no idea. A wee bit of middle-aged spread, bought and paid for, as they say, but the word obese horrified me. I was was offered immediate medication for all three conditions. It was explained that it was all free on the NHS for life. I was shocked and not sure what to say. I'd actually prefer to deal with the matter with diet, lifestyle and exercise, and from then on immerse myself in the subject and a new lifestyle. I'll cut a long story short, says Chris, by saying that 6 months later I'd reduced my weight by 25 kilograms, reduced my blood pressure to normal and reduced my blood glucose level, used to indicate type 2 diabetes, to normal. I could continue by listing the many positive changes to my life, but the point of me contacting Man in Line is not about me. It's about the need for the Isle of Man and the authorities to reduce the growing numbers of obesity and type 2 diabetes. These are acknowledged health time bombs, not only in the West, but throughout the world. And being a microcosm society, we could not only resolve the problem for ourselves, but lead the world in how we do so. And well done, Ramsay, for highlighting this problem. Well, the health station is installed at the Northern Swimming Pool. It was funded by Public Health. 994 people carried out 1,248 health checks between February and June. 60% of the users hadn't had their blood pressure checked in 12 months. You can check your weight, heart rate and blood pressure at the Northern Swimming Pool. And who knows, it could change your life. Actually, it could save your life. And if this is something that's affected you and you want to tell me your story, then by all means, do get in touch. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate your message regarding that. And 25 kilograms. Very well done. A note in from a WhatsApper just says, this Maxman business is ridiculous. Who's going to pay for these repairs? Well, I wonder. Well, it'll be us, of course. I don't think the boat's suitable for the Irish Sea. All we needed was with a boat with seats to sit on, a cafe, not cabins, executive lounges. It's 3 to 4 hours at the most. As for saying that we chose it, we didn't. Somebody, and we don't know who, chose it. Well, this could be a problem for the next administration, couldn't it? What to do with the Maximum? Well, it's going to be 2 months without her. We'll be using the cabin-free Ben McCree. That's it. Thanks to Howie on the phones today. The Chief Constable, Russ Foster, is on Man in Line tomorrow. W-I-N-T-Y.